I'm going to entitle this one Life, Immortality. Life is so adverse. There's many adversities in life, many different things that happen to us in life. We cannot predict life. We cannot even predict tomorrow. The scripture plainly says, I know not what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, that's my words, but it's what it means. And yet the Lord is, we've always said, and we all know, we know who holds tomorrow. So as we think about life itself, that every one of us here this morning received the breath of life, scripture, and every living being has received a piece of eternity, which is your soul. Not one of us is going to live this life and that be the end. We're not animals.
Right.
We have that thing which God gave us when he gave us breath and life. And it will go back to God. It will be that thing that will never die. So I have made this statement different times in the congregation, and I said not one of us had anything to do with coming into this world. None of us chose to be born. God allowed you and me to come into this world. And I'm thinking of the generations also of the past, all of history really. Generations came, and the generations filled their place in time and filled their purpose and passed on. And, you know, one time I tried to look up on the internet how many generations there had been. It's very difficult to determine that, so I'm not going to try to. There's different opinions about that because of Adam to the flood and the flood and so forth. So, but there's countless generations of people that came and have left this world, and you and I are now in a space of time. God has allowed us to live in this age. And I'm thinking of partly because my mother's side of the family, we're having a family reunion, the first in 5 years, possibly the last. And there were only 7 first cousins left in my mother's side of the family, and yet we have descendants from my grandparents. On our cousin Facebook, we have 87. Many of them we have never met. So we put this out that we were having this reunion, thinking there might be, we'd do good to get 20, and we're going to have 68. And life goes on. When our ancestors came and they had their families, and then those were expanded. And so we are all part of a life cycle. Now, I ask for you to just consider some of the things I'm saying, because it has to do with what God has to do with the message, but it's just sort of a little foundation to it. So, children are still being born in this world, and there's older ones and all ages that are still leaving this world. And that's called a life cycle, and we're part of it. So, I was thinking also, I had there was a message that was given some time ago, and it had some of these thoughts, and the statement was made how that none of us asked to be born, and it caused the central thought of that message was the emphasis on how God feels a grave responsibility to all of mankind. Because they did not have anything to do, or they did not ask to be born, and yet we are in this world, and God has a grave responsibility. Even today, he always has, he always will. And the word of the Lord indicates that he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to do what? Come to repentance. I look at that and I think of all that God does, all that he is doing, all that he will do to help every soul on the face of the earth. It's his plan. He doesn't have, he has a chosen people when they're saved. When they come to him and they receive of him and receive of his spirit and they become his children. And we've heard the scripture over and over that this is the seal of the Lord. He knoweth every one that belongeth to him. And yet he has the same compassion, the same love for the sinner as well as the saint. Isn't that precious? He's a lover of the soul. And so I thought of his very nature, and it is the very elements of his nature is summed up in just four words: love, goodwill, mercy, and compassion. And the scripture says that his compassions fail not. His mercy is new every morning, a new supply for every generation. Those four elements supersede anything else that is in a human being's life. They cover it. It's the very foundation, I would say, of what God intends for the people of the earth. And it's because they have this soul that's going to live on for all eternity, and it's going to go back to God. The scripture plainly says that a man was formed in the image of God, formed from the dust of the earth, and God said, you'll go back to dust, but something else is going to live on for all eternity. Oh, how important is our soul. I think about a scripture also that says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Did you know your soul is in your hands? A lot of people think that our soul is in God's hands, but I want to tell you, I play the part whether my soul has eternal life. And I'm thinking also how that the Lord proclaimed this in his word, not only in the New Testament, but the Old, and we'll just do the two. And it's Malachi 3 and 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Much more is in that scripture, but that's the phrase I want us to get a hold of, is that God is a God that doesn't change. And we go over then to the New Testament in Hebrews 13 and 8, it says Jesus Christ. It went into for his son, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to me, that is the solid foundation that you and I are so privileged to build on is that God does not change, and we can trust him to be the same in our generation and in whatever generation comes. I think of the scripture also, and we quote it, we may use it in our prayers, and that where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. And we've all experienced that abounding grace. Maybe when we felt like we couldn't go on, or we couldn't surmount, or we couldn't get the victory. And ultimately, God brings us out into a wealthy place. Thank the Lord. So, every generation, I wrote down here, has and had. We have it today. They had it in the past. The same security that God does not change. And we can depend upon him and trust in the same promises that they're eternally set. We can trust. Does God have a reputation? God has a reputation. He's living up to that reputation in 2023, and we can trust in his reputation. And we can trust in his record. We can not only look back at our own experiences and say, God was so real to me in this place or that place. And I'm thinking of another scripture. The children of Israel, it was said of them that they went from strength to strength. And what that says to me is that it was like you could put in there victory, strength and victory. They went from victory to victory. We go from victory to victory. And that's part of that foundation. So, another thought that came to me was how precious my soul is. And your soul, it's precious. It's precious in God's sight. Do you feel precious in God's sight? You are. Not just your soul, but your life. Your soul is precious, and your soul is highly valued by God. Thank the Lord. He's not just put us down here and said, go your way and make the best of it and do the best you can. And no, he's not done that. He knows exactly what he can do to help us. And so this is the thing that we can consider of the life that he gives each one of us. I have a few scripture here concerning the span of our lives. I think it's good for us to be reminded of the brevity of life. And the scripture says, as our days on the earth are as a shadow. Another one says it's just a vapor. We can live to be gray-headed and old and pass through all of the stages of life. We represented here today is probably every stage of life. And yet life goes so fast. There's another scripture that says, behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth, and my age is nothing. That's not very, very long, is it? But when you compare the span of your life to the beginning, bringing down to the end and including eternity, It is such a very small portion of time itself. So Psalms 90, we're going to read verses 9 and 10 and 12. It says, all our days are passed away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We're all writing a little book, aren't we? We're all, each one, you have a book with your name on it. And it's including all of your life as a child. God works with children. I remember, actually, I think it was Lindsay Wall when she was a little girl. And they were in this congregation. And she was, I believe she was one of their girls that was a little bit loud when she cried. And she would sit over here when she got a little bit older and play. I mean, she was a typical little girl, just she was entertaining herself with something. But she was listening. And her parents said that they would go home and she would tell them what was preached. Children can grasp hold of something about God just by being here. We might look at them and say, well, they're not really listening. I want to tell you, I think children get more than we think. And I remember, and you've heard me say, how that when I was a little child and I heard the preached word, probably didn't look like it, but I was saying in my heart, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. You know, that's part of my story. When I grew up, I didn't follow the Lord, but the desire was still there, and God worked with that desire. And with each one of us, He's looking for that little place that there is a desire. And He wants to blow upon it. He wants it, the little spark, to become a flame. And over the course of life and the changes of life and the places we're in and the things that we do and not just actions, I'm talking about choices. The choices that you and I make. And this is where our lesson this morning and the message. When Damon started out, he said this statement, I'm glad we get to choose our response to the Lord. And my heart just sort of leaped. And, you know, that's why we know that my soul is in my hand, your soul is in your hand. It's because we have a choice to make when God deals with us and works with us. And it's our response to what God is doing. And then we made some kind of a statement. God will not force you and me or anyone. He could. Oh, He could be a God that was, shall I say, a tyrant. God's not a tyrant. He wants willing service. And we've sometimes thought, the song that says, I've enlisted in the service till I die, we think of it as, he has a volunteer army. He doesn't draft anyone. He may send out the call. He does. He sends out the call. And it's my choice. You want to join this army? You want to enlist till you die? It's my choice. So in all of this of our lives, we are writing a story, a book, if you will. Oh, it's not literal. You've heard somebody, I think they said, Stanley Dixon even may have preached a message on the dash. the birth and the death and all of the dash and what it represents. That's what we're talking about right here this morning. It says that passage goes on and it says, the days of our years are three score and ten. Three score and ten. How much is three score and ten? And some of us are there. And some of us are coming there. And it's not saying that everybody's going to live that particular number of years. And it went on and it said, if by reason of strength they be fourscore. Is anybody here fourscore? Bernice is. So here's what happens, though. It is soon cut off. Life is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then the statement that we all want to hold on to this morning, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, God is desiring his people to be wise, and he's written so much in his word, given us so much in his word about wisdom, and he even makes room when we don't have it. And he says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Choose. Choose to seek for it. Ask for it. And he said, I will give it to you liberally, and I will not upbraid you because you lack it. Does that speak of his nature? It falls in those categories, those four words: love, goodwill, mercy, compassion. He's not willing to cut us off. He gives us another scripture about just a smoking flax and a bruised reed. And he's not willing for them to be broken. And he's willing to reach out even in those stages of our life where we're maybe low in faith, low in whatever you want to put in there. There's going to be times we're low in these places. But he's not willing to pluck us up and destroy us. He's still reaching out to us. This is what God, his very mind for you and me and for all of the people, all of mankind, he still wants to. I wrote down here, God never desired people to serve him as robots. He doesn't want us just to do it because he commanded it to be so. He wants us to choose. So God chose to create the human beings of the earth and that they would have the freedom of choice. He gives us many choices. God gives the gift of choosing and the privilege of making our own choice. So I want to read now Deuteronomy 30 and verses 15 and 19. And it says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. We have the choice. He's not saying you have to choose life. Or he's saying, I'm giving it to you if you choose it. Therefore, he says, choose life. And this is the reason that both you, and your children or your seed shall live or may live. our choices affect other generations. We've spoken about the generations before us. I want to tell you, you and I were affected by the generations before us. By those that went before us, they influenced our life. Somebody did. I had some influences from my grandparents' generation that lives with me still today. I look around and I can probably name some individuals in your life that influenced you, and you are here today because of them. And if you didn't have that influence from your own ancestors, someone in your life, yes, became that influence through God, because he wanted you to choose, and you've chosen. I look at the group here, and I'm touched by those that, and I hesitate to say it this way because we're everyone privileged to know the truth, and we're everyone privileged if we have a vision of the Church of God, but not everyone was raised that way. And yet here you are. How did you get here? You had to make a choice. Did you know you had to make a choice to come to church this morning? And you chose, and here you are. And I say it this way because I had the privilege that my grandparents found the Church of God and the truth and passed it down. And so I'm privileged. But I am blessed when I see those that are here because you chose it. I had to choose it, but you also had to choose it, and somebody influenced you, and God allowed it, and here you are. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for everyone that is here this morning. So God is saying, I'm setting these things before you, and you get to choose. That same chapter, I'm going to refer to verses 11 and 14, 11 through 14. It's one of my favorite passages, but it fits this morning. And it says, this commandment is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. So, what am I thinking and reading when I read about the word of the Lord is not far off? The word of the Lord can sometimes be obscure. It can be hard to understand and hard to maybe... And I had a conversation this week with some of my own relatives, which was an encouragement. And they have begun reading the Bible. And my counsel to them was, when you're reading and you don't understand it, don't try to interpret it. We need the interpretation through the Spirit for it to be a right interpretation. I said to them, I said, if you don't understand it, put it up on a shelf. And I said, ask God to reveal it to you. We've all had to do that. I've had Sister Souter, she told me those kind of things. If you don't understand it, don't reject it. Wait. The Lord will reveal it. So the word of the Lord is really does not have to be a hidden book. We may not understand it all immediately, but with time and seeking the Lord, God will shine light. He's promised. He is light. And he is the understanding. And he can give us the understanding. It also says in that passage, it is not in heaven The commandment is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up to for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. I want to tell you, you can hear it and know it for yourself. And that's not an independent spirit. That is a spirit that is dependent upon the Spirit of God and the receiving of the Spirit of God and allowing Him to open up our understanding and give us the meanings of His commandment. It also says, neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us? Here I am, I'm a poor person in the United States, and I don't understand. One of these individuals I was talking to this week had no biblical background. Her family did not go to church and didn't really read the Bible, and so it's all new. It's all new, but God can reveal it even to the unlearned. And it doesn't have to be saying, oh, it must be overseas. Somebody needs to bring it to me that I can hear it and that I can do it. It goes on and it says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That's the Spirit of the Lord that is following you wherever you go. And as you meet the events of your life and the questions that come in your mind, turn to that Spirit and say, reveal it unto me, and I will choose it. If you say that, He'll give it to us. Isaiah 35 and 8 says, and highway shall be there and a way. God wants us to find that highway and that way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. It says the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, though ignorant, though unlearned, but they shall not err therein. Follow the Lord. Choose to follow the Lord. God has made a way, and it's not so hard, and it's not so difficult, and it's not so obscure that you and I cannot find the way. I think of another scripture in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and verse 16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. There's many ways this morning. Compare them. Stand ye in the ways and see, and then choose. It doesn't say choose. It says ask. Ask for the old path. And I believe that even though that might sound old-fashioned, and maybe you might be identified as being old-fashioned, it's okay. There's something about the old paths that is the right way. And you and I can ask for it and choose it. We can, and it says that where is, I suppose this is part of the question of asking, where is the good way? And then it says, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said in one place, he said, as Luke 9 and 23, it says, and I put this part in here, Jesus said to them all. And I believe that's okay then for us to say this morning that the message is for all. And what he said was, if any man will come after me, he will have to make a choice. I wrote that. Let him deny himself. You have to make a choice to deny yourself. And then it says, and then he will have to make another choice. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Over in Joshua, we're going to close with this portion of the scriptures. In this chapter, the 24th chapter of Joshua, I'm going to give a little background to the chapter. Joshua was he that just assembled all of the people together. And in the first part, he relates God's great benefits. You know, I believe God wants us to always hear of his benefits. The benefits of living for him are great. And then it's said that, I took this from the beginning of the chapter, starting in verse 14, he is renewing the covenant between God and the people. People have come back and they're returning to God. So Joshua said in those verses from 14, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. What a message. What an exhortation. What an appeal. That's the same we have this morning. You choose to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Then Joshua said, put away the gods of your fathers that your fathers served. Those that went before us that were failures, look away from. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Familiar scripture. And Joshua was saying it, and he ended that chapter, that verse, and he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a choice. Now, it may not work, because your children, when they become to the age of accountability and they become adults, they're going to have to make a choice. But if we have passed on those seeds of truth, we've been the example, they will have a foundation to work with. They will have a path that they might be able to choose. So that's why Joshua said, right now, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I choose that. Therefore, we will serve the Lord. Now, the people answered this. And the people said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. That was a good answer, wasn't it? Now, remember, these are people that's returning from idol worship, worshiping other gods, and they're choosing it. Then Joshua said, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn and do you hurt. Our choices do have consequences. And God has plainly put in his word some of those consequences to help us choose right. And the people said, now they're still making a choice, we will serve the Lord. He's not been able to deter them from their choice. And then Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord. In other words, he's not saying because you made this choice, you're a witness, a bad witness. You're a good witness. I'm choosing, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to serve the God of the one true God. And he says, now, because you've said this, you've made your choice, you're now a witness of your choice. There could be other witnesses of your choice. The witness of your testimony, the witness of the fruit of your life, others looking on and bearing witness of your choice. But ultimately, the bottom line is I am a witness of my own choice. So he said, ye are witnesses against yourselves or for yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And you know what they said? The people said, we are witnesses. I believe the Lord is such a merciful God that he is working with each one of us, that we follow him, choose to follow him, choose to walk in his way. I thank the Lord that he has worked with me in all of my life, and he's helped me to make choices that I could live with and choices that I could die with. And that's what our choices ultimately are. We spoke about life and maybe immortality, but life right now is mortality. It's going to come to an end, and my choices are going to affect my end. Pray for me.